This episode is brought to you by
The Last Chance Saloon. Alex, you like bars.
Sure.
Not me so much, but we know how you drink. So...
I thought we weren't telling people about that.
Have you ever, like, wanted to go out into the wilderness, but you just want to have that last drink before you head out into the sunset?
Oh, yeah. In fact, waiting for that last drink has stopped me from so many things, but definitely the wilderness thing.
So,
it's not a problem, though.
Our sponsors...
It's no problem.
It's no problem?
No.
It's no problem, just one.
I just love the drink.
Just the one, though. Maybe...
No, the last
maybe
one.
Maybe a warm-up one. And then another one. Our sponsors today are The Last Chance Saloon. They have modernized since the Wild Wild West.
Okay.
But now you can go there. You only get one drink...
Oh, that's,
king session.
That's far too few.
Just one drinking session.
Oh, session.
Session.
Wonderful.
Before you head out into the wilderness, it's called their last chance offer. Okay. So you just get one drinking session. Now, you have to be careful because some of the people in there still like to like live in the Old West. So you have to make sure that you have a sheriff's badge on when you go in.
This sounds like a situation where I want to drink.
So, if you go to their website, it's like a travel website, and type in the offer code
Two
Foolish Chances, you can get a 3-night stay at the saloon before you head out into the
That's
Wild West.
That's a long drinking session.
You can't leave for those 3 nights, though.
Who's offering this? The saloon?
Last Chance Saloon.
Oh.
I don't know who the bartender is anymore because I heard the last one. Okay, we don't talk about it.
We don't talk about
but
it.
But the new bartender doesn't have any financial, like, wiseness at all. So he's just doing this.
Which is why he's paying for this ad.
Yay!
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of my ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity.
Welcome to the Fan of the Fool, everyone. I'm the fan, Matt Antonelli.
I'm the fool, Alex Cameron.
Welcome, Alex Cameron.
Yeehaw, cowboys.
How are you?
I'm fine, cowboy. How are you?
Can
I just say something before we get into this?
Yeah.
Apologies if I'm not super enthused, but Westerns are one of my least favoured types of television shows.
You don't like Wild Wild West?
Not even a little bit.
You don't like...
It was Old Hat, back when Old Hat was a saying.
What's the one with, what's his name? He's really famous.
Eastie.
He's a good actor. He was also in The Great Escape.
You're talking about the guy who's on the motorbike at the end?
Yes.
Steve McQueen.
Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm.
You don't like Steve McQueen?
What about him?
When he's in
Western
movies?
I loved him in The Great Escape because that's a movie with a plot and a story that isn't just, oh no, this town too small for the two of us.
Are you saying that the story we watched doesn't have a story?
Hello, this is Alex interjecting from The Fan and the Fool. Just wanted to let you know that we record our usual segments and then we go through a long discussion about events and characters that we don't get to see due to the BBC losing storylines between the last one and the one that we're talking about today. If you're not interested in hearing about all of the different plot lines and how we lose and gain characters throughout that time, feel free to skip ahead to the 30-minute mark where we begin our actual discussion of the episodes that we watched to record for today.
On to the next segment of our show.
Good.
I grabbed this thing, and I think
do you like
might,
that?
I think we might have already done this before for this segment. Is it
Doctor Who?
Who?
Okay. I'll tell you if I've seen this before. I don't think we've done this before.
Oh, well, there it is. It's a pin. You can take it out.
Oh, it's a pin.
Yeah, you can look all over it because it hasn't got the name of it.
Okay, so it's a pin. It's blue and it has a symbol. It looks like almost like it could be the Spider-Man kind of symbol, you know?
Mm.
It's just a round blue symbol.
You've hurt my feelings a little bit because it's definitely not Spider-Man. But
I didn't say it was. It looks like a Star Trek badge.
Yeah.
I'm just describing it generally. I'm not saying it is.
It does look like a Star Trek badge.
Don't be offended just because it's one of your
things.
Like
the thing in the logo of the newest, or all the Star Treks, all of those ones are the same?
All the ones that everyone hates because they're awful, the new ones.
I liked the first...
Anyway.
Is it Doctor Who? Who?
No.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know, but I don't recognise that symbol, so I don't think it's from Doctor Who, but I'm probably wrong.
Well, I realised today I should have gotten something else, but it is this.
Pokemon.
Yes, Sun and Moon.
So that's
one
a symbol.
One of the greatest versions of the game.
And so memorable, that's why I knew what it was.
Well, it's memorable to me, because it's one of the few where it's like, you're a trainer and all that, but you're not getting 8 badges. We're doing other things.
How many do you get?
Don't get any badges. You just go on an adventure.
Wow.
So how good's that?
It's very good. I'm very happy for the Pokemon fan base.
What's the next segment called?
Matthew's brief spoiler-free review of...
Audio Play. Now, soon, I should be able to give you a review of a real episode.
I like that.
Because this is October, and the next episode comes out in November.
Ooh.
And that will be Jodie Whittaker's last episode.
Is an audio play. Oh, no, sorry, I'm a review of the current show.
Yes, of the real, of the pictures.
Of the pictures. I guess we are watching a show from 1967.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, the pictures.
And sometimes you could say, for these episodes, a picture might be better than watching some episodes.
Ooh.
All right, so I'm going to do two, because I was on school holidays last week, so I did a lot of bushwalking, and so I just listened to things as I bushwalk.
I should clarify, Matthew says that because he's a teacher, not a student.
Mm. No, by now they would have known that. Unless this is the first episode you listen to. In which case, go back and listen to the first episode, and then come back to this now. Done.
Yeah, I'm just making the point that he's not a 30-year-old creepy man student who's like, hey...
Because I'm pretty sure in the first episode, I talked about the fact that Ian and Barbara followed Susan.
And you said that's...
Or offered her a lift home, I think they said.
Oh, yes, we did talk about that because it was creepy. But at the time, it probably wasn't.
In the 60s, teachers were always driving students home. Okay, so...
that's just an aside.
And then that student who's like 16 gets left with an old man in the future with a bunch of Daleks that are dead and around them. Okay, continuing? Do you want to go on? So I listened to two. So the first one I listened to, and I won't click on it because it does actually have some spoilers for you, so I'm not going to click on it, but it's called Doctor Who 10th Doctor Classic Companions.
Ooh.
So this continues the current trend of everyone in like Great Britain have kind of been in and out of lockdown. So a lot of really famous actors are now just like available. So David Tennant, who was the 10th Doctor,
mm-hmm.
he has returned to Audio Place. He's done like heaps. And he did 3 stories, one with a companion from like the old series.
Classics.
So he picks up Leela, who's like a 4th Doctor companion, Nyssa, who's like a 4th and 5th Doctor companion, and Ace, who is the 7th Doctor's companion. Now, this isn't a spoiler, but the last one is very interesting. I always find any story with Ace interesting because she is the last companion of the classic series before it gets cancelled.
Okay.
But because of it getting cancelled, you don't know what happens to her in the end.
So she doesn't continue on when it gets rebooted?
No.
Interesting.
So she has like a whole business and like life that goes on. And there's moments where she'll pop up in the audio plays, and sometimes she's like okay with the Doctor, but other times she's like, I don't, you know, you left me and blah, 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 but you don't really know what happened. So
it
kind of keeps it nice and you're like, oh, what's going on
here? Spicy.
Yeah, it keeps it spicy.
Yeah.
The cool thing is she always calls the Doctor Professor because that's what she called him when she first met him. And he's just like, I'm not a professor. And she's like, well, my name's not Ace, so suck it up. So it's pretty good. Because her name's not Ace. Her name's Dorothy. But, you know, when you're young and hip and cool, you're like, I'm Ace now.
If I was called Dorothy, I'd recall myself Ace.
And also, that you're going to love this, because I know how much you love things. But when you meet her, her name doubles as her catchphrase.
Ace.
She's like, that's Ace.
Oh, like, no. Okay.
And she jumps and does this. Like, Ace!
Oh. So much to look forward to.
It grows on you eventually.
So what do you rate it?
Out
of 13 Doctors.
I always score the... I think the audio plays are always great. 10.
Out of 13, quite high.
A Tennant. I'm going to name it after him.
And the second one?
is called Torchwood. So I haven't done a Torchwood one on here before, but Torchwood is a spin-off of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a TV show. They did 4 seasons, and then it got cancelled. And so they did season 5 and season 6 as audio plays, and then they just got little spin-offs ones. So this one's called, and it's a really short one, and it's currently free.
Ooh.
Bigfinish.com.
It's yes. Free.
I think it was like 13 minutes, so it's like a short one too. But it's called A Postcard from Mr. Colchester. And I like it because, for one, I like that character. Because mm-hmm. he's kind of like a butler. But he'll also shoot you in the face.
Oh.
So he's like, he's all like dry wit and is like an old man who doesn't like fighting.
So most old men.
But he could fight if he had to.
Oh.
So an alien army rocks up on Earth. So this is like the shortest one. So it's just one actor.
Yeah.
So it's all from his perspective, and he just says what's happening. But these aliens rock up, and they're like, surrender, like Earth is ours. And Mr. Colchester just like drives up to them. So they're like an army, and he's like in his car, and he gets out, and he's like, let me tell you some things about Earth. And then he just tells them like that there's lots of wars going on, that everyone hates each other, that the planet's doomed, like we're running out of resources. And he just like rattles off all these things, and they're like, okay, well, actually we don't want this. And then they leave.
Have you just told us the whole story?
Well, it's 13 minutes long.
And but it's free.
It's I guess. Said very... It's the delivery.
Right.
He's very good at it.
Is it the same actor as from the show?
He is actually from the season 5, from after it
was on TV. Oh, okay.
So introduced in audio, but still very good.
Right, right. Interesting.
So, yeah.
Rating?
I find it hard to rate something that's like 13 minutes.
I didn't ask. 10 out of 1.
It's not Doctor Who, though. It's Torchwood. So what do I rate it?
How many seasons of Torchwood were there?
4 on TV. How many members of the Torchwood team were there? 5?
They're rated out of 5.
3?
Ooh.
I give it in order of being on the show, being in the team, I think that's a Dashiko.
I believe you. I don't know what that means.
She is a person. She is in Doctor Who, and then she's in Torchwood.
Oh.
In fact, a lot of the Torchwood team are in Doctor Who first.
That's interesting.
So Captain Jack, who's the leader, he's in Doctor Who first.
See, I know that name from Doctor Who. It might have been from the episode where you listed out all the different companions you could think of. I remember the name Captain Jack. That's also why I know the name Ace.
Yeah. Toshiko, she's in... one episode of Doctor Who, and then she's in Torchwood. Eve Miles, who plays Gwen Cooper, and she's incredible. She's in an episode of Doctor Who as a different person, but then is in Torchwood as a descendant of that person.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. Peter Capaldi.
Yes.
The guy that's the 12th Doctor. He is in Torchwood as a different character. And it's kind of said outside of Torchwood that he's a descendant from a Doctor Who character that he also... Because he's been in Doctor Who three times now.
As different people.
As different people. So he was someone in Pompeii when David Tennant was around.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like a government bureaucrat in Torchwood. And then he's back in Doctor Who as the 12th Doctor.
That's insane.
It's good, because he loves Doctor Who. I've got a thing.
There was a third thing, Matthew.
Yes, okay.
You so wanted me to remind you before we started recording of a third thing.
Yeah, so the third thing. So there's an episode coming out. Now, we talk a lot about... there's a companion in the audio series called Livchenka, and she's played by... Oh, Nicola Walker.
Yes.
All right, so Nicola Walker, right? So this is the next one that's coming out. So Christopher Eccleston, who I have mentioned multiple times on this, he started doing audio plays, and then he started doing audio plays because there was lockdown and he needed an income. he was very honest about that. He was like, I just need some money, so I'm going to do these audio plays. And then I think he's just kind of fallen in love with it, because since then, he's done like a million of them. So this is 2.3, right? That's the episode code. But every box is 3 by like 60 minutes. So he's done 1.1 up to 1.4, 2.1, and he's gone up to 2.4. So he will have done 8 lots of 3 episodes that are all like 60 minutes long.
Jeez.
So he's just like pumping them out.
Right.
And so Nicola Walker, who was normally a companion of the 8th Doctor, she's going to bump into him, and now we're just like, I'm ready.
And do they still do the thing where he's like, I remember you, and she's like, who are you?
Yes, well, she originally met the 7th Doctor, and so when she met the 8th Doctor, the 8th Doctor was like, hey, it's Liv Chanka. And she was like, I don't know who you are.
Mm.
And so I feel like that's going to happen again, although he might try and pretend not to know her, because, you know, that ruins time a little bit, if you like. If she's not supposed to have known that he gets to this yet, mm-hmm. at that point.
I see what you're saying.
This is a sea devil, but I'm excited. I pre-ordered it.
Have we met the sea devils yet?
No, 3rd Doctor.
You pre-ordered this like 5 months ago.
Yep. Because...
when is it due to come out? November. Was it on sale?
No, I just bought... I just pre-ordered his whole thing.
So you're the reason he's like, keep that money coming. Whatever.
It's so funny listening to behind-the-scenes stuff, because the director's just like, Chris Ferguson's like a big movie actor and he's just doing this. We don't need to tell him how to do his job.
Can I be rude? I've literally never seen that man before in my life. Is he really a big movie actor?
He was. So in 2005, he was in Doctor Who.
Okay, but
No, I'm telling you, that's as background.
Okay.
And then after that, he went to America and did a few movies.
Name them.
I don't want to, because none of them are good.
What a big movie actor.
So he was in Thor 2.
Okay, that's fair.
So he was, that's fine, but he hated it because he'd put on lots of prosthetics.
Yeah.
And then he was also in the G.I. Joe movies.
Oh.
And then he was in lots of smaller movies. And then I think he just went back to Great Britain and played. No, he still just did lots of like...
parts in like, yeah, like all the 17,000 murder shows they have.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Which is fair.
Or like movies in, like I wouldn't say he's ever been like the lead in a movie, but he's often in lots of movies. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
But there he is.
I believe you.
All right, now before we get to today's episode, almost half an hour in,
we have to do some catch up.
Yes. So two things. The first thing is, in the previous episode, I told you I wanted to show you a video of what happened to Vicky.
Yes.
So, this is like a little couple minute short thing about what happened to Vicky after she was left. I mean, she chose to leave. So it's not like she was left there like Susan was left in the future with an older man to marry. Oh. But in this one, she was with like the son of, I think, a king or something.
Yes, R&B saying that.
So, yeah. This is the same actress and everything.
Once upon a time, I was lost. Stranded on a distant, dangerous world. An orphan. With no hope of rescue. And then, in the most unlikely of places, inside a battered old police box, I found a home and a family.
You can't be showing me Barbara. There was Ian, come on.
Dashing and smart and heroic. Barbara, brave and determined.
Brave and sick.
Intrepid and curious. And then there was the Doctor. The wisest man I ever met. Whose eyes sparkled like the night sky. Whose temper burned like the sun. Our travels took us across the universe to fantastic worlds.
Doctor, look!
A miraculous civilization.
We can travel anywhere and everywhere.
I'm telling you, I'm missing these episodes right now.
And the far future. Joining those who fought for freedom. Battling those who spread terror. Each adventure made me who I am. And eventually brought me here. To my new family. In the end, our lives become stories. And in the telling of those stories in verse, song, or sculpture, we keep them alive. And a good story should live forever.
Tell me another one.
Your mother used to get tired of my stories when she was your age.
I don't.
No. You don't.
I just think it also gives like a nice little recap of everything so far as well.
Yeah. I think it's nice too because at this point in time anyway, we don't get to actually see her finish on the show.
No, and I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
She actually, I didn't realise, but she still voices characters in the audio plays. So
other characters?
Yeah, so one that I listened to just then, I think it is in the 10th Doctor ones, she just plays another character. So she still does like voice acting work. So, yeah. And I think it was also good because, if you recall, she also was not aware that she was leaving the show.
Yes.
So, you know, to kind of, like, come back and just do, like, a little bit and be like, it's all right. According to the... Because the storyteller is, like, in the wiki and everything, this little story.
Yeah.
That's her granddaughter. And she's, like, her grandma. And they, like, since she left the Doctor, she had a family and... That person there that she's talking to is her granddaughter.
Right, right. Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah, I know, from context. But sometimes people are like, who is that? Well, and the directors have to come out and be like, all right, so... Yeah.
You can see her face and it was her for sure.
Mm.
Oh, before we do this I just want to quickly say, I was watching Pointless because it was randomly on the TV.
What was the question? I can answer it.
It wasn't one of those questions. It was one of the ones where they're like, here are six answers. Two of them are not real. Four of them are real. Two of them are pointless.
Okay.
And it was Doctor Who companions.
All right.
I don't remember them all.
Why did you even bring it up?
Because one of them was Steven Taylor. And I was like, hey, I'm literally watching this story right now. And he was a one-point answer. It was just weird because I was like... How many times is there going to be a reference to a minor character on a show from 60 years ago that I am currently watching today?
Shock.
Horror.
Bazinga.
Anyway, what's your other video?
Okay, so before I show you this, we're going to get to these episodes now. So we actually miss some episodes.
Thanks,
again.
BBC. Thanks, BBC.
So we miss the celestial toy maker,
mm-hmm.
Which is a person as well as the name of the episodes.
Great.
So what happens is, if you recall, at the end of...
The Ark,
because it was in space and it had, like, animals and stuff in it.
Yeah.
It had shrunken down people. That's right. Yes. And they were like, you've been bad, we're going to shrink you so you can live forever on this other place.
Yeah.
Okay, so... At the very end, they get in the TARDIS and, like, time to move on, and the Doctor just turns invisible.
Yes, that's right. Now, like, oh no!
So, the TARDIS is kind of pulled into another dimension called the Celestial Toy Room. So, this Celestial Toy Maker, he's a character that, he kind of lives in another dimension, and he's really, really smart, but he gets really, really bored. This guy's like, I'm bored, I need someone who can match my wits and play some games against them. So he brings the Doctor in and his companions.
What? See, this would have been another cool story that we miss.
Yes. In fact, I've got some good facts about the episodes that we don't miss.
Yeah.
So the Toymaker captures them and he keeps sending different challenges. So For a bit, Steven and Dodo, they have to face off against two clowns in a game of, like, blind man's bluff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor has to take on the Celestial Toymaker in a game called Trilogic. And so they like, fight back and forth a little bit. But the Toymaker says, if you can beat me at all these games, and your companions can beat all my, like, goons, I'll let you go. No worries, mate. But if not...
Is that what he says? No worries, mate.
Yo, Doctor. he says, but if you lose at all, you have to stay here forever so that I've got someone that I can match wits with. And your friends get to be celestial toys.
Okay, but can I point...
Don't know what that means. You like it?
Can I point out a flaw with what he's just said?
Yes.
If you win, you can go. If you lose... I have someone to challenge me forever. Wouldn't you rather keep him if he won, because then he's a challenge?
I don't know if that's a...
Therefore, you aim to lose so that he goes, well, you're no challenge, I'll let you go.
If you were...
a celestial toymaker being, yes.
Yeah, and you wanted to... Like, you wouldn't say, no matter what happens next, I'm going to keep you forever. You'd want them to have a go at it.
I know, but so much for Trilogic. You want him to stay if he wins.
Mm.
Anyway.
The last game they play, so they get through all their challenges, last game they play is a game called TARDIS Hopscotch, which is what the Celestial Toymakers made it up. Each player rolls a die at their turn and moves the number of triangles indicated. First to reach the TARDIS, which stands on the home triangle, is the winner. So it's like a board game.
Okay.
But you're the pieces.
And what happens?
They win in this scene.
I offer you power. Power to corrupt, to destroy. Think of the exhilaration of that power. Serve me and live.
Never! Never, my friend!
You have been defeated.
We will see, old man. The game is not yet over.
What have you done? Stop meddling with my ship!
It isn't what I have done. But what you have not done, you must finish the game. You cannot leave here until you have.
Your infantile behavior is beyond a joke.
Of course, I mustn't. You very nearly caught me then, hmm?
Make your last move, Doctor. Make your move.
But if I do, this place vanishes, hmm?
And then you have won completely.
And if this place vanishes, then the TARDIS and the rest of us will vanish also.
Mm. Correct. That is the price of success. Make your last move, Doctor. Make your last move.
And then he wins.
Oh, so that's not the last thing.
No, but we...
Is that the only scene that's available?
That's the only scene that I have available for you. So the Doctor is... I'm just looking at the end bit so I can try and explain this. Because it's like, how do I explain this? So I'm just going to read it.
Do it.
So this is just going to be straight from the wiki, this last bit.
Okay.
In the TARDIS, so that scene plays out, the Doctor goes into the TARDIS. Because it's a new scene, so I don't have that scene to show you.
That's fair.
In the TARDIS, the Doctor explains to his companions that the Toymaker is immortal, and though the world may be destroyed, he can merely build a new one. They must find a way to finish the game and leave safely. The Toymaker begs the Doctor to let him have the TARDIS, as it would be such an amusing toy. The Doctor asks for the Trilogic game to be moved inside the TARDIS, but the Toymaker refuses and says they must either stay there forever or make their last move and be destroyed. So Steven offers to go outside and make the move himself, to sacrifice himself so that the Doctor and Dodo can escape. But the Doctor's like, nah, I can't do that. The Doctor is suddenly inspired by Steven's comments... They must have said something inspiring. And after Steven presses the controls, he attempts to command the Trilogic game to move forward as the Toymaker had done. His attempt fails, but then the Doctor imitates the Toymaker's voice and the move is made. He instantly commands Steven to throw the Master Switch and the TARDIS safely dematerializes as the Toymaker's world is destroyed.
Very good. So is he not like a character we see again?
Oh,
spicy.
Yeah, we won't see him again.
Oh, really? Is that literally...
He's in a lot of audio plays.
Okay. He sold that so hard. I thought he would be coming back.
But there is a rumour that in the 60th anniversary special, Neil Patrick Harris is playing the Celestial Toymaker. So I think, I'm not sure if that's been confirmed. If it has been, I'm not really a fan. But if it hasn't been, I am really a fan. Okay, so The Gunfight is the video, is the episode to be watched for reals.
The story arc. Season 3, episode 23 through 26.
Now, Alex.
Yes.
Before we begin, I have a comment.
Let's make it.
Okay, so I love Doctor Who. And I know I've done like a similar speech before, but I love that...
It's not your fault that you have to keep making this speech.
But Doctor Who, I love that it just switches genres on from one episode to the next.
Right.
So maybe in one episode you are on, you know, you've got him fighting big rhinoceros aliens that are like a police force. And maybe next time he's out having, like, solving a murder mystery with Agatha Christie.
This sounds very specific.
Or maybe one time he's got to stop, the Master on New Year's Eve.
Ooh, so he returns.
Yeah, so, or maybe one time, maybe the next time, right, you get to do some comedy with some Romans.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
I like a change in genre, and part of me, because we do get more Wild West ones,
okay,
that are better than this,
sure.
But some I don't mind going from something that's like, say, if we had seen the Celestial Toymaker, you've gone from one that's in like set in alternate reality to suddenly the Wild West,
right?
But. When the song at the start of this started playing, I didn't know if I had clicked the right thing to watch. So, because there's quite a bit of time passes between... So the start episode, we'll get into the story in a minute, but basically it's like a Wild West street.
Yes.
There's like little Yoldy houses.
Saloon.
Yes. And apparently a dentist. It's got a big tooth sticking out.
I will tell you something. That is based on the reality. That guy was a dentist in real life.
I think they may have taken some creative...
Of course, but I wanted to check, was he really a dentist? And yes, apparently.
Well, also, the guy that's in charge of the town is quite famous too. That's why when they meet him, they're like, oh.
Hello.
Hello there.
Well, yeah.
So
basically, the transitions... throughout this story arc occur through a woman singing a kind of ye old western song about what's happening. And that doesn't sound as bad as it is.
The serial features an original song, The Ballad of the Last Chance Saloon.
Thank you, by the way, for sponsoring us.
So, the lyrics, I just kept getting annoyed every time she started singing.
Yes.
Because... I kind of feel like you could have just removed all that singing and the episodes, you would have had more time to do other things.
For sure.
There was two times when characters got killed and she was like, and the curtains closed on whoever, but it was the same lyric and they just swapped the name. It's like, maybe come up with something a bit more original.
Also, almost every single one after the first one started with so, because all it would do is... Let's say a guy was in a bar and he got shot. She'd come in, so the guy was in the bar and he was shot. And then say a guy fell down on the street. So...
I'm just reading some of these lyrics.
The guy fell down on the street.
So the first...
Look how many times they start with so.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yes.
So the first time we hear her sing, so there's people walking through the street and then they run off or whatever. They come up with a plan. They're like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then the song starts playing and it says, so fill up your glasses and join in the song.
We did not.
Okay. So come you coyotes and howl at the moon. Till there's blood upon the sawdust, which is another lyric that repeats quite often.
Yes.
In the Last Chance Saloon.
Whoever wrote that lyric thought it was very clever, so they wanted to keep repeating it.
Do you want to see how many times the word sawdust comes up?
Do it.
11 times the word sawdust appears.
Tell me.
When there's blood upon the sawdust, or till there's blood on the sawdust. When there's blood upon the sawdust.
The point is, they were trying to make it very Western-y.
I just want to show you
something.
It was a step
too far, wasn't it?
So I'm just going to put this on our big screen.
Do it.
Now, I want you to look at this. So this is where it starts. This is as televised.
Okay.
Now, you thought that it was a big waste of time. But can I tell you something that's this long?
Oh my gosh. Oh!
That's how much you had to listen to.
Okay, we're literally... If this was a Word document...
Look at it!
Yeah, if this was a Word document, we'd be on page 12. It's insane.
Soundtrack release. So, an abridged version of the song appeared on the Doctor Who.
Okay, so they release a soundtrack and it's abridged because the damn thing is so long.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh. So, and then you've got different characters singing it in the actual story.
I don't really have a... yeah, like I said, I don't really have a problem with the Wild West scene. It's just very boring.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just one of my least favourite types of shows. So if you're going to do it, it has to be done well. And I know that, you know, it's the late, mid to late 60s. They probably didn't have the stuff that they had later to make stuff good. But just don't do it then.
Stuff you later to make stuff good.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on. They have such... We were just watching that thing where they showed scenes from the times of Ian and Barbara, and I could feel myself missing those stories because
I got little goosebumps. I was like, oh,
they were good.
This
is not good.
So, just a little bit of trivia before we get started. Well, please. We've gotten started. Let's face it.
No, but you know, before we get into the plot.
So, I think a lot of what we can kind of, I quite like. Every time we look at one of these stories with Steven in it, because Peter Purves, whatever, however you pronounce his last name, he...
Every time.
He always just has an opinion about the episode. So you remember when we did... when we talked about the Daleks and the one we didn't get to see, the 12-episode one.
Yeah.
And he was like, the 12-episode one was tosh or something. Like, he was all like, this was nuts.
Yeah.
He says... Peter hated working on this serial, calling it a crummy script. He and Will Hartnell didn't get on with director Rex Tucker. Now, Rex Tucker had originally been chosen to produce and direct the pilot before Verity Lambert was chosen ahead of him.
Oh, okay.
So, think like the 60s, and I know this is going to be really awful... But
it's a reality.
A man in the 60s being like, oh, a woman's chosen over me.
Yeah.
And so he felt like this show was beneath him. He felt he was like, and it's going to be too silly and sci-fi, so I'm just going to take it back to like Earth.
Okay.
By making it a Wild West story.
Yeah.
He felt it had become a juvenile sci-fi series. So let's do some shooting and killing lots of people. All right, episode one.
A holiday for the Doctor. Ooh,
oh, puns, words.
Puns everywhere.
Three strangers, R.K., Phineas, and Billy Clanton, arrive in Tombstone, and they want revenge. Look, there's lots of things here. Cowboys rock up.
And by the way, it's based on, we're not saying it is, but it's based on things that have happened historically, so we don't have to really go into it too much.
But it is why when... certain names are mentioned, the Doctor and his companions are like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, like the Clanton brothers, when the Doctor first hears about them, he's like, oh no.
Not good.
It's not good. So, the Doctor has a toothache, because they arrive, that song plays, we all ignore it, and then the TARDIS appears.
Because I wanted to ask you, did it say anything about in the previous episode?
Yes, I left that out, I'm sorry. He gets a toothache, he eats a sweet, and he gives him a toothache.
That's why I don't eat sweets.
Yes. So he needs a dentist. Where are they going to find a dentist in the Wild West? Well, this guy, he's become a dentist.
Yes.
So the Doctor and his companions, they arrive in the Wild West. We have another dress-up scene.
Yes.
So I thought there was a few interesting things about that, because the Doctor has an outfit with guns that Stephen's wearing.
Yep.
And I was like, oh. Because he's always, well, recently anyway, he's like, no weapons, thank you very much. But now he's like, that's my favorite. Those are my favorites. Don't break them. So I thought that was interesting.
Favorite guns.
I guess, but I guess you could own antique guns without being like, I'm all about the guns.
Because he does make it very clear later in the episodes that he's not going to use them.
Even though people keep handing him guns.
Yeah.
So,
America, right?
America. They made that joke later as well in future episodes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Americans. There's a scene in like newer Doctor Who where the TARDIS lands in the Oval Office of the President. I'm just going to like tell you, I've got to tell you some things. And they all draw their guns and he's like, you're not going to shoot. And then River Song, like this other character, she's like, we're in America. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. So,
take that, Americans.
Stop using your guns. I got some facts about America.
Stop electing people who could have been born last century.
I think in the next election they should have two old men go at it again.
You like that? If they look like they were older than the Queen before she died.
I'm just going to loosely summarize this first episode because I have a few notes. There was a part at the 11 minute mark where he introduces himself as like the Doctor. And someone says Doctor Who, and he says, quite right.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh.
Yes, I made a note of that as well.
I was like, you don't know the significance of the question you're asking, Doctor Who.
There was another thing. He says, I don't touch alcohol. Is that true? Haven't we seen him drink with different characters in history?
Well, in that in the Christmas special, that 12-episode arc, he does drink alcohol.
So immediately it's already wrong.
Yeah, he's like, I'll have a glass of milk. And also, he does drink alcohol later in his life.
And I'm sure we've seen him drink alcohol.
There's a hidden compartment in the TARDIS where he keeps his brandy.
Okay, so why is he... Is it because of the toothache? He's lying.
But wouldn't you want alcohol if you had a toothache? That would numb the pain.
In fact, they offer it to him for that reason.
Yes.
So I don't get it.
The Doctor bumps into Wyatt Earp, and he's like he's famous, apparently. Yes. And he's the sheriff.
And I think that guy was the best actor in the whole show.
Oh, I think he was great. They wanted to get, and you love this, ready? They wanted to get Donald Sutherland to do that role in the 60s.
That would have been great.
peak, he could be a cowboy.
Yes.
So that would have been great, but they couldn't. I guess he probably even at that point would have been a bit above this.
Oh, jeez, what are you saying?
Well, in the 60s, an American actor, and he's like, I want science fiction and Western? What?
Yeah, they want me to fly to the UK to film this thing.
Oh, that you say that it was filmed in the UK. It was filmed in the UK.
Well, it's Doctor Who, what do you mean?
Oh,
no, you're right, sorry. I forget that when they're filming in the TARDIS, to make it realistic, they go into space and travel through space and time.
There was quite a few, if we're talking about sets and things, I want to get away from the story because it's bad. The buildings will look quite good.
Yeah.
And when they're walking down the main street, obviously that's a set, but they have quite a good painting of like that set continuing.
Yeah, it looks good.
It looks well done. Yes. And lots of like sand and stuff, like makes it look like a proper ye olde Western.
The bar looks great.
The bar does look great. One of them, when they get shot, they fall against the bar at one point and it wobbles and you're like,
yes.
That's not a
real that part, yes.
That's not a real bar at all.
And let's get this out of the way. The accents are atrocious.
Yes.
They're inconsistent.
Stephen does a very good American accent, doesn't he?
Well, he was already a cowboy. Remember?
The prophecy.
I wanted to bring that up. He was already a cowboy in Doctor Who.
It is possible, and I might look it up, that that is one and the same character. They're listed as different characters on TARDIS Wiki, but it could be the case that he's has to be there for something and has to pretend that he doesn't know who the Doctor and they're you know what I mean?
Like, someone's probably written a fanfic that explains
it. Great, that they should. They should do an audio play about it.
If you don't know what we're talking about, in the one of the Dalek stories,
The Chase,
they're at the top of the
Empire State.
I keep wanting to say Eiffel Tower, but it's the...
You want it to be the Eiffel Tower.
Well, anything that's not this. the Empire State Building, and they meet the actor who plays Steve Taylor. Steven Taylor, whatever.
Peter.
Playing the most atrocious, annoying cowboy I've ever seen.
But he's also, is he a tourist? Or he's like tour guide or something?
I'm pretty sure he's a tourist. But anyway, not just character to character, within the same character, the accents are so bad in these episodes.
Yeah, they are pretty bad. And I assumed, so if we just skip, I'm just going to skip ahead in the story a little bit.
Yes.
The doctor gets his tooth pulled out by Dr. Holliday, who is a
Doc Holliday.
He was formerly like a...
Outlaw.
And now he's trying to make an honest business by like being a dentist. And I don't know what his qualifications are, but apparently he can just do that. So he's a dentist. He's got his fiance or like girlfriend, Kate.
Yes.
And they're operating their dentistry. And the doctor is like, all right, yeah, I need help. And the guy's like, all right, we'll pull this out. And the doctor, who, by the way, time traveler, is like, where's the anesthesia? Yes. And you're like, you know where you are, right?
Even the companions are laughing because they know ahead of time there is no anesthetic.
But that's not entirely inconsistent with the doctor's character, though, to be honest. There are times where he travels. I remember there's an episode where he's like, he gets stranded on Earth and he has to find somewhere to live. And so he sees an ad and he's like, oh, I'm going to go like rent a room in this guy's house. And he rocks up and he's like, he has like a big bag of money. He's like, this is for rent. And the guy's like, how much is in here? And the doctor's like, I don't really know. Is it enough? Do you need more rent? And he's like, no, this is fine. So, you know, like, he doesn't really understand. Like, he's a time traveler, but he doesn't understand, like, day-to-day living sometimes. Yeah,
that's fair. I suppose you get confused if you're doing it all the time.
Yes.
Fair enough.
And sometimes he just casually mentions, like, people he's met, but it's, like, centuries later away in time that that's existed.
Right.
So, yes, the doctor gets his tooth pulled out. And then there's a big misunderstanding in the end.
About?
So, because the doctor's called the Doctor, Doc Holliday is a former outlaw.
But they don't know what he looks like, you
see. They don't know what he looks like, but there's some people who have a grudge or whatever against Doc Holliday. And they hear that there's a doctor in town. They mistake the doctor for Doc Holliday. And Doc Holliday overhears this, like,
misunderstanding.
He's like, I can take advantage of this. I can get this old guy killed. Then they'll think Doc Holliday is dead. And then I can just run my business and no drama.
It's actually a smart plan.
It's a smart plan.
If you can pull it off.
Which he can't.
No.
And so he gives the doctor his gun and everything. So this is another time when the doctor's just handed a weapon. Like, the doctor's like, I don't want any of this. And he's like, you're taking it. Because he's like... And I could understand the doctor being like, well, maybe because I'm in this Wild West situation, I should just have a gun.
Yeah.
And then he goes to the bar. He meets the Clanton brothers. And they're like, we got, you know, we want you dead, basically.
Doc.
But then the doctor's actually taken because they think he's Doc Holliday. So the sheriff comes in and arrests him and takes him into the sheriff's place.
Jail,
yes.
Yeah, so jail.
Station. Police station?
He said something similar to police station. Sheriff's jail. But anyway, this sheriff has worked out that there's a misunderstanding, so he arrests the doctor.
Because he knows that the dentist guy is Doc Holliday.
Yes.
Yes, because he recognizes
him. But he arrests the doctor in order to protect him from being killed.
Yeah, because it's a pretty safe place. Now, as bad as this is, I saw a lot of things that repeat in future episodes. So, in another Wild West story, the jail in the sheriff's station being the safest place to be.
Right.
Or,
to be honest, I think that's a cliche for Westerns.
Yeah. Or the doctor being made a deputy sheriff.
Happens again.
But it's almost like I see those echoes, and it's like, they've seen this and they've gone, we need to do this better.
Yes.
Because... So Stephen and Dodo get a room, get some rooms at the saloon.
They get a room.
They get multiple rooms because, yes, you know, three rooms, one for each person. Oh. Thank you very much. Not like the not Doctor so and Martha.
Martha?
Yeah, that's later.
Oh. Not the hot old woman.
No.
Okay.
But damn, they talk about the Doctor, and so the Clanton brothers and their gang, like, overhear this, and they're like, oh, we'll get... They must be talking about Doc Holliday. There's so much misunderstandings. But put the story aside, they hold them at gunpoint and they ask them to sing and play the piano.
Yes.
Now, I had assumed when Stephen was like, I can kind of sing, that he could kind of sing. But I don't think this is that.
Not really.
Maybe it's the microphones, but it wasn't great.
No.
And why would you want that to continue?
But they make him sing it four times.
Yes. And then Kate turns up and she takes over singing. And then Stephen's can suddenly play the piano.
I wanted to ask you, because it's when Stephen's singing, Dodo
plays... She's playing piano. And she specifically said, I can play piano.
Yeah. And she's playing it, like, not just, like, casually, like, doing all the like, crazy stuff.
She's like, I'm the piano.
And then suddenly Stephen can do the same thing.
I mean, I can play the piano.
I can play the piano. Then Stephen can do it. Everyone can play the piano.
We can all piano. You know what I mean?
I'm a pianist. Is that what you're trying to say?
That word never sounds good.
Can I just say, yeah, who created that word when it could have been anything?
Piano player.
I mean...
This one says, don't shoot the pianist.
Well, that would be painful.
That's the second episode.
That would be very painful.
I have just got a note here that says, unfortunately, the music continues.
Yes. Whether it's Stephen singing it or the woman singing it, the narrator or whatever. Jeez.
I actually have a feeling, because I have another note here that says, there's so much time has passed without the Doctor. And I feel like...
Holiday?
No, I don't think that.
Oh.
I think that this guy might have had a Western script just up his sleeve and then just kind of shoved the Doctor, yeah, and the people in it. It kind of feels a little bit like they're shoehorned in. Because even at the end when they leave, there's a big, like, shootout. And the Doctor and his companions just...
Are there?
They just leave. There's nothing for them to resolve.
Yes.
You know, throughout this whole story, they're just kind of, like, in the middle of other people having to resolve things. There's a point later on when the sheriff, Wyatt... Right?
Wyatt.
His brother... gets killed.
Right.
And he's all like, we're going to take this fight to the bad guys.
I'm stepping outside of the law.
Yeah. And then he makes a team with Doc Holliday and the other guys. I'm just skipping through story here.
It's so fine.
He's like, I've got Doc Holliday and I've got my deputy and we're all going to go out there and shoot people. And the Clanton brothers, they're like, well, we got this guy called Johnny Ringo. And he's all like, he's like all crazy or whatever. So where they're going to have a shootout. And that all happens independent of the Doctor and his companions. Yeah. His companions are with the Clanton brothers and he's with the sheriff's
team.
They're
all kind of there.
But the whole point of them reaching their shootout is just so that the Doctor and his companions can be like, now those two groups have met, so we're back together again.
Yep.
And we fly away.
That's it. I completely agree.
There's no point to them being there.
See, they've done historical stories before where it makes sense why the Doctor and the companions are there. But this is just like their add-ons.
I just really miss... I miss the one that we didn't get to see, where the Doctor designs the Trojan horse for one group.
Yeah, see, that would have been so good.
And Vicky's in the other group. Those two armies rely on those people's wisdom to help them in their plight.
Yes.
But in this, they don't need the Doctor. In fact, he's a bit of a nuisance because they're like, you stay here, otherwise you're going to get killed. And he's being like, I got to go out there and help Stephen. And they're like, ugh.
It's literally like the writer was like, put the Doctor in the jail and just leave him behind bars so I don't have to think about it.
There's a bit where the Doctor says, people keep giving me guns.
Mm-hmm.
He does often, particularly when his reputation like grows. There are times when he lands somewhere and like, great, the Doctor can save us. And they're like, where are your weapons? And he's like, I don't do that. So,
how did the BBC lose the Trojan horse story, but keep this one.
I don't know. One of my facts is this is one of the lowest rated, like, viewer ratings episodes ever.
Of all time.
It's not the lowest, but it's down there.
Ooh.
So not many people watched. Still millions of people, whatever. But not many people watched.
Or stayed through to the end.
And,
That's fair.
Yeah. Over the four episodes, it does decline.
Mm. In more ways than one.
It's like the writer was like, I don't know how to finish this. Just have a shootout and then everyone flies away.
It literally ends with Doc Holliday and the girlfriend, I think, being like, okay, see you later, bye.
And they're like, off. I can be a dentist for free. Like, I'm free to be a dentist now.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where he thinks she's left him, and there's a bit where she thinks he's left her, and they find each other again. But again, that all happens independent of the kid. So Dodo, there's a bit where Doc Holliday and Kate, they've left town because they want things to blow over.
Yes.
But they're just taking Dodo with them. Now, his reasoning for taking Dodo also doesn't make sense. Because he's just like, we're all in danger here. You better come with us and get out of town.
Right.
What it should have been is like, we need a hostage.
That would have made way more sense.
Yeah. Instead, Dodo's just like, yeah, I'll go with you. Like, she should have just hung out at the saloon. Because eventually the Doctor and Stephen just come back and they could have flown away together.
Mm-hmm.
But they needed two more episodes, didn't they?
Why? Why didn't they have... Because I'll tell you what, when the second episode was finishing... What. Yeah.
I have actually put, what a great ending to this episode.
Yes. You see, the arc was brilliant because you thought, oh, this is a nice ending, and then it gets twisted for the next two episodes.
Mm.
That didn't happen here.
The one that I liked where that twist does happen is the one that we just watched where they help the humans with the disease on the ark, and then they travel forward in time, and suddenly everything's bad. So you think like the story's actually ended,
yeah.
But oh, the twist!
It was really good.
The things with the ping pong ball in their mouths, they're back.
I miss that story. That story was so good because it had like races arguing about political ideas. And creatures that were simple but interesting.
Yeah.
And a nice twist halfway through.
It was just good.
It was just good. And this good.
Wasn't.
Oh, man.
But it's good to see some things that evolve.
Well, you knowing stuff from the future go... Making you sound like a Time Lord there. Knowing stuff from the future.
I am from the future. From the now?
But you... Where is the now?
Now it is.
You know?
It's right now.
It's now-ish. But you're saying you can see tropes that evolve into real important things in the show.
And I still think if I think about like independent of the story, like individual actors in this, the guy that played the sheriff was great.
I really liked him.
The doctor, I mean, William Hartnell, even though I'm surprised that in the story notes it says that he didn't get along with the director at all because he was still quite good at his performances.
Yep.
I don't really like Dodo that much, but you know, she does what she's...
I never have. I don't think the acting is good. I don't like the character.
I think that might be partly because we didn't see...
The intro. That's fair.
But I still don't like her. And
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Steven, but he's okay.
He's like Ian Light.
That is exactly what I was going to say. If you bought Ian from the cheap shop...
He's like... You know, he's not a math and science teacher, and he can't take down a Jaguar Warrior, but he can, you know, give it a good go. You know?
Do you like that?
Do you like that?
While we're just talking about the show, because I don't think we're going to go through the plot.
No, because, do you want me to, they leave. Continue.
They leave. So this cool outlaw Ringo, Johnny Ringo, comes into town, right, wearing really tight pants. Like, it's distractingly tight. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I wasn't distracted by it.
I was so distracted. But he kills the bartender.
For no reason. He's like, I'll take a free drink. Bam.
Kills him. But then he does the thing that cowboys are supposed to do, which is cool, which is he brings the gun up to his mouth to blow it, because it's hot.
It's hot in there.
No, well, yes, but you know what's even worse? Because it's obviously a prop gun, when he blows into it, it whistles as if you're blowing into a bottle. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't, but I'll go back and watch.
Do it now. Listen to the gun when he blows into it.
Hey, Johnny!
No bullet hole, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that before. That's so good.
He blows into it, and it's like he's blowing into a bottle, and it makes that whistle.
Oh, man. So, the reason he shoots him is because he recognizes him as Johnny Ringo, so he can't have witnesses.
Even though he says, now tell those guys I'm here, and I'm the one that's going to be dealing with Doc Holliday. But then he kills him.
Yeah, well, sometimes people just have to die. And then, you ready?
Go on. Boo, get off the stage.
Johnny's name. He knew Johnny's name and he spoke it out loud.
Sounds worse than I remember.
And also,
Barman. Barman. It's a sign for it.
Can I just say, it gets a point where she's not, she's not even giving an interesting description of what's happened. She's literally just going, this guy was shot.
Yeah, because she's bored.
I see why.
Okay, do I have any other notes? Great death for Charlie the Bartender. That's sarcasm, by the way. He gets his own verse in the song. Oh, there's a moment, there's a weird moment where it just suddenly cuts to Charlie being dead on the bar. I think it's at the end of this when it cuts back to the town.
Oh.
It's just an edit that just goes straight to him. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Like a jump scare.
Yeah.
Man.
In the last episode, this is the first time the Doctor becomes a sheriff. He becomes a deputy sheriff, but I'll take that. The Doctor has a glass of milk at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Or during that episode. Good death of Johnny Ringo, because he was boring. There's never anyone has any, like, bullet holes, I noticed that.
No blood, no nothing.
No blood, but I guess it's a family show.
Except that they're killing each other, and also string a guy up by the rope, by the neck to hang him.
Mm.
But it's a child's show, though, so no blood.
Kids were tougher back then, trust me.
So they were scared of blood and guns.
Cut that out.
But not...
Leave that in.
They were scared of blood and guns, but not seeing a man almost get hanged to death.
Yeah. Then they go to the future at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Or do they? Because they land and it's like, looks like cavemen or whatever walking up to the TARDIS.
Can I just say, that genuinely looked freaky, that last clip of next week.
That, like, 30 seconds, much better than the last four episodes.
So I have some hope for the next story, unless the BBC's lost that one too.
They have.
Are you serious?
Yes. So,
oh, one other thing before we start talking about other stuff. The Doctor collects things from his travels, right?
Yeah.
Doc Holliday gives him a wanted poster of himself.
Hmm.
Says, here, keep this. And the Doctor goes, ooh, and throws it before getting into the TARDIS.
He says the likeness is very good. And then he's like, oh, I actually don't want this.
But he collects things.
Yeah, he does.
I don't understand why he threw it away.
All right, would you like some fun facts?
If anything can make this fun, I want it now.
Do you know the TV show The Thunderbirds?
Yes.
David Graham, who plays Brains, and Shane Rimmer, who plays Scott Tracy, appear as Charlie the Barman and Seth Harper, respectively. So there's those two.
Interesting.
Graham has also provided Dalek voices.
Oh, okay.
So he's sometimes a Dalek. The last thing on the screen says, next episode, Doctor Who and the Savages... Right. This was the last story to have individual episode titles until season 11.
Oh. Wow. Really?
Yeah. So I guess from here on in, it's like this story part one, this story part two.
That's interesting.
Hmm.
We never get that again.
There was a good fact here. So this was the first full and only serial of the original series to take place completely within the United States.
Not filming, but the story is set there.
Yes.
Okay.
It was 3 years until another US set story was filmed.
Yeah, because this one went so badly, they thought, let's stay away.
In fact, 30 years, the next story that was set is the telly movie in 1996.
Great.
So, Paul McGann in, I think they're in San Francisco or Los Angeles. I think it's San Francisco.
Okay.
But that's an episode. That telly movie is interesting because it has two doctors in it. So this, it's supposed to be a pilot. The seventh doctor is at the start, and then he regenerates into the eighth doctor in that movie.
Right. And then the show starts again.
No, done.
Oh.
As in, like, they didn't start a series out of that. The eighth doctor gets one episode, and that's the telemovie.
That's right. I remember you told me.
Very sad. The real big nose Kate died at the age of 90.
Hang on, they call her that?
Yeah.
I don't remember them calling her that in the show.
In 1940, William Hartnell was 32 years old at that point. This is one of the rare instances in which a historical character was within the lifetime of a Doctor Who performer.
That's pretty cool.
Look at that. When the Clantons forced Stephen Dodo to perform the Ballad of the Last Chance Saloon, originally Dodo was to sing while Stephen played the piano. Jackie Lane proved to be a mediocre vocalist, and so Peter reluctantly agreed to swap roles so that he sang the ballad while Lane pretended to play the piano.
Well, I think they both pretended, because what they would do is have a different actor stand in front of the keyboard or the piano so you couldn't see what was being pressed anyway. So
Rex Tucker wanted to cast American and or Canadian actors as much as possible to lend some authenticity, but this proved difficult.
Which is why the accents were so bad.
They want to get Patrick Troughton to play Johnny Ringo. Patrick Troughton will be the second Doctor.
Okay.
Flute Man. Do you want to hear about the next episode? Do you want to rate this one first?
Yeah.
Go for it. You're up.
3.
John Pertwee.
I think that's my lowest score so far.
He's got that nice frilly jacket. It's like a proper jacket, and then it's got the frills out the edges.
You're really not selling me. He's like,
I can fight.
On any of these doctors.
He's also sophisticated. He's like, I like a good red wine, but I'll punch a man in the face. That kind of thing.
Very sophisticated, yeah. I'll drink and then fight. I'm of such sophistication. I think this is my lowest rating ever. I think I've done a 4 before,
But
it's a 3.
I'm torn. Because I don't want to give it anything higher than that.
You can.
No, I don't want to.
But you might know of things coming up that are worse.
2. Patrick Troughton.
That's probably your lowest rating.
Only because the story doesn't need the Doctor.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't... It's just a Western miniseries with 3 strange travellers who are just there for the ride.
Yes.
So, The Savages. That's the next story.
But we
cannot watch it because... You ready?
Yeah.
No episodes of this 4-part story exist in the BBC archives.
Of course.
But this is the first Doctor Who story to have an overall story title rather than each episode having individual stories.
So, again...
Part 2, Part 3, Part 4.
Again, a first in Doctor Who that we miss.
And we don't see it.
Yep.
So, the next one that we can actually watch... He's going to be the War Machines. And that's the last episodes of season 3.
Our shortest season so far. Thank you to the BBC.
Now, sadly, after this, we also can't watch...
Of course.
The Smugglers. But we can watch The 10th Planet.
Ah.
Which is the last William Hartnell episode. So we actually just have 2 more episodes of this, William Hartnell.
That's crazy.
So
end of an era.
End of an era.
And I don't mean for him. I mean for our podcast.
Are we stopping at that point?
Not at all. I'm just saying that's one era.
We're going to accelerate?
The Flute Man makes me think maybe not.
Well, to make you feel a bit better.
Yes.
A lot of the Flute Man's first season, we can't watch.
Hooray!
Sorry. It's
well, not I don't really... know, he might be good.
After we get to Doctor number 3, they stop, like, from 3 onwards, we have everything.
Everything of 3?
Everything of 3.
Okay.
4, 5, 6, everything.
Okay, good.
It's just the early ones that they kept taping over. Okay, so the next one, War Machines, is 4 episodes.
One, we'll do it in one.
We'll do it on one hit.
Episode. Yep,
and I'll do like another recap of the Savages, and then episode after I'll do a recap of the Smugglers, and we'll watch. Should we watch? Because it's Will and Hartnell's last one. Do you want to watch it together?
Yes.
And then when you're crying, I can comfort you.
And then after that, we can watch the documentary about him.
Yes, that we can do that as an episode after. Do you want to do it as a full episode after?
Yes.
Yes.
So those are our plans.
And I'll show you when we watch it together.
You like that?
Because the last episode, as I'll show you here, the last episode that William Hartnell's in is cartooned.
Ah, animated.
But I do have the real footage of him regenerating.
Okay, good. That's the thing I wanted to see.
Okay. Now, this... I'm just going to get you really hyped up for it. Is, like, peak. And in all of this, like, 6 years of Doctor Who, these episodes, in terms of, like, effects and storyline, I can rewatch this today and be perfectly happy because it's incredible.
Interesting. Okay, so we are going to pick up from this slump.
Yes, okay, we are.
Good, good.
Yes, yes. This is incredible. I think they wanted to give William Hartnell like a really good send-off, and by golly, they do. Because you'll see probably in the next series, but definitely in that one, like you can tell he's not well. Oh. So they need to like move on a bit. But, you know, he gives it like a...
final hurrah.
Yeah. And it's really good.
Good. We're getting near the end of Doctor Who the First.
I am excited because I think, just as we come to the end here, just to reflect for a minute.
Okay.
I think we've had a few ups and downs, and I'm just keen to see how they transition to someone new.
I'd love to know, is there a video where they talk about how they came up with that idea?
That is going to be in that documentary.
Okay, good.
Because they're like, our actor is sick, how do we fix this? And I'm pretty sure in their conversation they go, well, he's an alien, why doesn't he just change his body?
See, that's brilliant because it sets up the show for like 60 years.
Great.
Great.
If you like this...
do you like it?
In the episode description, there's the Linktree link that
yes.
is to go to all our socials
uh-huh.
and to where you can listen to this.
Yes.
And you can share it with your friends.
Please.
Please.
We're desperate.
Are we? I haven't checked the stats lately. I think it's going all right.
Good. We should be more consistent, but things happen.
Yeah.
We're also not getting paid, so whatever.
No, and I think we'll be once we get consistent. Into a flow a bit, we'll be...
Absolutely.
Every week. All right.
Love you.
Smack bottom.
What are you doing?
I'm reversing the polarity of the ultrasonic screwdriver's power source.
Reverse the polarity!
Reverse the polarity.
I just reversed the polarity. I just reversed the polarity.
Reverse
the polarity.
It's reversed the polarity!
Polarity!
Reverse the polarity of the neutron.
Reverse polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.
Reverse the polarity.